This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
You know the man. You love the man.
Sure.
You see him on the Yes Network, on the Nets pre- and post-game show. And he is our good friend, used to write for the Daily News, before that the New York Post. I think he was with The Athletic for a while, has a show on Sirius XM. He's a busy man.
And a handsome man.
And a handsome man. And he's now an author as well. The book is The Last Enforcer by Charles Oakley. And this guy, Frank Isola, he joins us now on the show. Hey, Frank, what's up?
Gentlemen, what's going on? I raced home because they said they wanted me to do a Zoom call with you guys. Lower Manhattan was a complete mess. Apparently, the president was in town. I don't know why the president just couldn't zoom in. That would have made traffic move a lot better. But here I am.
Point.
Good to see you guys. Right? So, I'm a little. This show and myself were a little bit more important. Let's face it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about the book. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. By the way, what was that? Is that a map behind you, Frank?
Yeah. Remember when the All-Star game was in New York? The great Dan Cloris came up with like a New York map that has all the different neighborhoods where all the, you know, great New York City players kind of grew up.
Interesting.
So, of course, your guy who helped make your career, Chris Mullin, obviously he's on there. But, you know, you have Lou Alcindor and all these other guys. It's pretty nice. Cool. Even as media people on there, too. I'm
are
pretty
you
sure
that?
You're there, Mike.
You
I am. I think you are. The great Peter Vesey is on it. Peter Rosenberg, not on it.
No.
Because he's a Marylander.
It doesn't go all the way down to Hawthorne, New Jersey for Don either, huh?
No. He's on the hockey map.
All right,
he's
so,
on the hockey map.
So I read the book Blood in the Garden by Chris Herring.
Yep.
And boy, that was some time. I mean, you were there, I was there, and Charles Oakley was there. And I'm sure Oakley has a tremendous amount of stories. And correct me if I'm wrong, I know you know Oak from that time. He just does not seem happy about how things have turned out. Is that what comes out in the book?
No, I think, because remember, he got traded there and Rick Pitino was the coach. So, you know, he came in. It was a different role that he had. Pat Riley had him perform a different role. But he definitely enjoyed his time there. He loved playing in New York, loved playing for the Knicks. I think what he's bitter about is the fact that they never got a championship. So, you know, he talks about Patrick a lot. Sometimes I think he's a little unfair to Patrick. But he always felt that people said that we needed a number two. His point was we needed really a number one. Patrick was probably more of a number two. He felt like in a lot of the big moments, everyone would look at Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon. They were the guys that would kind of carry their team. And he felt that Patrick a lot of times didn't do that. Again, I think it's unfair because there's a lot of big games that Patrick has, which are completely off the charts.
It seems to me, though, that that opinion has manifested after what Charles went through with James Dolan at the Garden, that he didn't feel that Patrick supported him enough. And all of a sudden, I don't know if he's changed his view of Patrick or always held his tongue, but it's become more public and he's been more vociferous about it since that time, right?
Yeah, and you know, he's a big, Charles, like a lot of people, he's very big on loyalty. You know, he talks a lot about Jerry Krause in the book, who, you know, went down to see Charles play a lot of times at Virginia Union. As you guys know, back then there was ESPN, but they weren't showing all these games. There's no internet, so really nobody knows who Charles Oakley is. Jerry Krause is going down to watch him play. You know, Big House Gaines, that's the same conference. He was at Winston-Salem State, Charles at Virginia Union. So he had a lot of intel on Charles. Jerry Krause made a draft day trade to bring in Charles Oakley to Chicago. He even traded him to the Knicks, re-signed him in Chicago, fined and suspended him once for getting into it with Tim Floyd. But Charles still talks about Jerry Krause, what he meant to him in his career, because he was really the first guy on a professional level that believed in him. And in fact, he criticizes Michael Jordan for being critical of Jerry Krause. He criticizes Scottie Pippen for being critical of Jerry Krause because he feels Jerry put together some great teams. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. And I think as it relates to Patrick, I think Charles feels, you know, I was the one doing all the dirty work. I was always, most of the times, defending the other team's best big man, whether it's a power forward or a center. I did a lot of the dirty work. And in this moment, you didn't really come out in support of me, at least publicly, after what happened at the guard. Now, do also remember, you know, there are some factors there. Patrick at the time was and is coaching Georgetown. The Big East does have a relationship with Madison Square Garden. So I'm sure, you know, the role that Patrick's in, he has to kind of watch his P's and Q's, so to speak. But what happened to Patrick, wasn't it last year or a couple of years ago, when he had an incident at the Garden, when he's walking through the hallways and we've all been there and he gets stopped by security and he couldn't believe that he got stopped. And there was kind of a little bit of a, not necessarily an altercation, but certainly a, you know, miscommunication. And he was pretty upset about that. I can't believe you don't know who Patrick Ewing is if you're working at the Garden, but of course, you know, there's probably younger people working there now. So what do you want me to tell you?
Now, you mentioned the last enforcer. You know, when you look at all the fights that they got into with Miami and David Stern being embarrassed, being at the Garden, seeing all those fights, and really the game fundamentally changed, right, Frank? Now it's a complete finesse game. Was that eventually going to happen anyway, or are the Knicks solely responsible for where the game is today?
I think the Pistons, the bad boy Pistons, are a part of that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the Knicks and the Miami Heat obviously had a lot to do with it. It's funny, too, kind of going down memory lane, with Charles, his first fight ever was against Randy Brewer of the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you watch a replay of it, and that's the one thing about Charles, he would remember certain things exactly how they happened. And he talked about the Randy Brewer fight. And sure enough, when I went on YouTube to watch it, you know, it was Paul McKeskey. Randy Brewer was also on the team. Paul McKeskey kind of rakes him across the face, then slaps him across the face. And then Charles just whacked him right in the nose and busted Paul McKeskey's nose. That ends up being his first fight. And obviously, he had a lot of fights. Xavier McDaniel was an opponent. Then he was a teammate of Charles. Obviously, got into it a lot of times with Dennis Rodman on and off the court. But I think you're right. In the 90s, what the league wanted to do was legislate fighting completely out of the league. It's almost the way it is in the playoffs in hockey, where I guess fighting is reduced somehow. But certainly during the NBA, you don't see it nearly as much as you once did. That's why a big deal was made of the Nikola Jokic, Markieff Morris situation that happened a couple of months ago, the way that both players reacted. Everybody thought, well, when the two teams play later in the month in Miami, maybe something will happen. You know that the league contacted both teams and said, that's not happening.
Was it worth it?
The book or?
No. Legislating it out of the game. Did it make the game better? Or do you like where it is now?
Well, I do think that the fans want to see a more physical game. I don't think they want to see fouls being called all the time. But I think, you know, there is also a very fine line. Look at what Grayson Allen did, you know, a couple of weeks ago to Alex Caruso. What's interesting is a couple of days later, Kelly Oubre of the Charlotte Hornets, he took out DeAndre Hunter of the Atlanta Hawks. And that happened late in a blowout loss. And not the same big deal was made of it, because obviously Grayson Allen has the history, so people lean on it. It's the same thing with the Knicks and the Miami Heat back in the day. Pat Riley had a history. Jeff Van Gundy had a history. Charles Oakley, Alonzo Mourning. But here's the thing, too. I was at that famous Game 5 in 97 where we packed, the media, we all packed, you know, for a couple of days. We all thought they were going to win that game. And then Sunday, they were going to be in Chicago for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Everyone thought that series was over. That was 3-1. Charles was the one that ends up setting the hard screen on Alonzo Mourning. They call a foul on him. He then walked over Alonzo, and then Tim Hardaway pushed him. Charles pushes Tim Hardaway. They send Charles to the locker room. He's out of the game. That's why he never got suspended, because he was in the locker room when the whole fight broke out. So that fight, you know, that might have been a Michael, you know this, Don, Peter, you know this. That 97 team, 96-97, was a good team. They beat Chicago twice that year. Do I think in a seven-game series they're going to beat Michael Jordan? I never thought Michael Jordan was going to lose. But if you talk to Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Jeff Van Gundy, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson, they're all convinced that they were going to beat the Chicago Bulls that year.
Any crazy stories come out of, you know, Oakley has so much in the tank.
Yeah.
Any stories come out that you never heard anything about that just blew your mind?
Yeah, he's got a couple. He actually has one with Biggie. He was with him like a few days out in L.A., a few days before he was killed out there. And he said at the time, you could just tell that security was beefed up around him. He said you could sense that something wasn't right. He has a good story about Dennis Rodman, who he runs into in Miami, and Charles is a part owner of a restaurant, and Rodman shows up at some bar in Miami during the day, and he's already a little out of it, and he finds out that Charles has a restaurant. He says, can I eat there? And Charles says, yeah, you can eat there if you want. He gets a call from the manager. He says, Dennis Rodman is going around walking around picking food off of people's plates and eating it.
Wow.
So Charles goes down, and it's right by Prime 112. It isn't Prime 112, but it's right near there. So Charles looks in the window of the place, and he sees Dennis Rodman. He just walks right in, just grabs him by the shirt, and just drags him out of the place and just threw him out.
Now in the
book, he never liked Rodman as a player. Like him as a person. They've always had a pretty nasty history.
So he also doesn't like Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny too, because he does compliment Barkley in terms of his talent. He feels that he's a, you know, he said he might be pound for pound, considering the position, the way that he handled things, might have been the best power forward of all time. So as a player, he compliments him. He thinks that he takes too many shots at people on TV, which, let's face it, our job sometimes, and you guys do it, you know, your jobs are to some, you know, be critical, but also be, you know, somewhat compelling, whatever the case may be. But he's had a lot of run-ins with him, a lot of stuff that happened on the court. Michael, you'll remember this. Remember they played in the playoffs that one year when they swept him? That's when they had the broom on the court. Remember the Knicks got criticized for walking off the court in Philly with a broom. But it kind of started during that series. And, you know, he had complimented Charles Oakley a lot. This was Barkley had complimented him a lot. But then at the end of that series, he started complaining about how the refs let him get away with everything. He's a dirty player. So that kind of started for them. And he also, as Charles Oakley likes to bring up the point, we're both named Charles. We're both from Alabama. We both play power forward. We both wore the number 34, and we don't like each other. So he says that, he always says they have a lot in common.
One thing, I spoke to Charles earlier today on Hot 97. It seems that he's had a really great relationship with Jordan. Jordan wrote the foreword. Seems like there's a lot of mutual respect there. Do you hear some good stuff about Jordan in the book?
Yeah, and you know the thing too. So Michael Jordan's on the Chicago Bulls. He's a rookie. The next year is when they make the draft day trade for Charles Oakley, and right away in training camp. And Michael Jordan, even though Michael's from the South, he really doesn't know who Charles Oakley is. But during training camp, he could tell that Charles Oakley is a hard worker. That, you know, physically he can definitely make it in the NBA. And at the time, as you guys know, Michael's starting to come up, and what's happening to him in Detroit? He's getting beaten up all the time. So he felt like he needed someone to protect him. And really, that relationship, which began in the summer before training camp of Charles Oakley's rookie year, has lasted all these years. They remain close. And, you know, Charles, let's face it, kind of served as his bodyguard on the court. In some ways, he serves as his bodyguard guard off the court. There's a good story about Michael picking him up on a private jet. They're going to go down to Miami to play golf. And he picks, at the time, Charles Oakley's in Atlanta. Michael's flying, I think, from Chicago. He picks him up on a private jet, tells him, do not be late because I'm not going to wait for you. Charles ends up being late because of traffic. So when he get on the plane, Michael Jordan's already ticked off at him for being late. So he's giving him a hard time. So what do they do, of course, on the plane? They start gambling. And Charles ends up winning for Michael Jordan. A lot of gambling stories in there. The players love to gamble. You know how competitive Michael is. So Michael is now really upset.
So wait, he was already mad at him for being late.
Tarmac. Exactly. Mad at him for winning his money. Then he kind of says, all right, let's go. So they're getting off the plane. Charles is rushing off the plane with him, doesn't realize that his backpack hasn't closed up. Gust of wind, we know how Miami is. He's on a tarmac, dollar bills, you know, $100 bills flying all over the tarmac. They start walking around, start to pick him up. Jordan's so mad, he says, forget it. I'll just go to an ATM and I'll give you the money. So some, you know, some workers in Miami were picking up money later in the day, $100 bills. So it worked out for them.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so the book is The Last Enforcer by Charles Oakley and Frank Isola. And if it does well, you see Frank riding around in a Rolls Royce soon. So we wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, let me ask you about the Nets, because you do the Nets pre and post on Yes. They've lost six in a row. And I brought this up earlier, Frank. Their next eight games, seven of them will be played without Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Because seven of them are in Brooklyn. So he is not committed to re-signing with them. He is not committed that he will not opt out. Don't you think the Nets have to investigate trading this guy before February 10th?
I think you would have to. I just don't know how many teams out there would necessarily take him. Because we all know that Kyrie Irving is an unbelievable talent. You know, the game the other night against Phoenix, he played really well. In fact, the games that he's played well. The problem is, and what's been Kyrie's issue the whole time, is that he doesn't play enough. I think right now he's up to 84 career regular season games with the Brooklyn Nets. So he's just two games over the equivalent of a full NBA season, and he's almost 3 years through it. He just doesn't play enough. Do I think something's going to happen after the season with either Kyrie or James Harden? I think there's a chance. I think it's more likely to happen with James Harden. Last night, something is up. You know, go look at – we all know who James Harden is. This is a guy that led the league in scoring. He played 37 minutes. He didn't get to the line once. He scored 4 points. I think last year there was a game against the Knicks where he didn't score. He played 5 minutes in that game. There was another game where he played 27 minutes and might have scored 5 points. He played 37 minutes last night. For James Harden to not play well, I mean, I don't know. Was he trying to send a message? We've heard all this stuff that he's unhappy. We do know that the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, potentially could be interested in him. Daryl Morey did an interview on radio down in Philadelphia. You guys should call him up because he did a radio interview down there. And we know how it works in New York, and I love Leon Rose. Leon never speaks. Daryl Morey went out there and said, I'm trading for a superstar. He admitted that, it has to be a superstar for Ben Simmons. He was asked specifically, what about the Sacramento Kings? He said, oh, yeah, we've talked to them, but it'll take a third team for it to happen. He essentially went on air and said their roster stinks. It would take a third team for the deal to get done. I think there's something going on there with Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets. I just don't think it's going to happen until after the season.
If you were the Nets, would you trade Harden for Simmons right now?
If you can give me Simmons and Tyrese Maxey, I would do the deal. I'm of the belief that I don't like the way Simmons has handled this thing. He never should have showed up late for training camp. I don't think he should be out, like sitting out. I think it's absurd. But I do think his career is salvageable. Absolutely. You put him next to Kevin Durant. He can guard every position in the league with probably the exception of Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. He can defend. He could run the court. You put him with Kevin Durant, who makes everyone around him better. Notice how you always talk about the net young players when Kevin Durant is out there with them, because Kevin Durant just makes everyone else around him better. And you give me Tyrese Maxey, I would absolutely do that deal. I just think that James Harden came here. He left Houston and he's thinking to himself, did I really sign up for this? Mm-hmm. Now we have one guy who doesn't play in the home games. And now Kevin Durant is hurt, which obviously is nobody's fault. And Kevin Durant is going to come back and Joe Harris is going to come back. So things will work out well for the Nets. I just think that the Nets look at it this way. Let's just kick the can down the road. Why give them James Harden now when we can end up playing them in the playoffs? Let's ride this out. When we get Joe Harris back and Kevin Durant, we're all healthy. Maybe the mandate will change by March or April and Kyrie Irving will be able to play in home games, and then we'll see how we do. I just don't think a deal of that magnitude would happen in what now is 7 days away.
Are the Knicks getting in?
They should. The Knicks absolutely should. You know, the thing with the Knicks too, you know, they go out and get Cam Reddish. And I get how – we all know how it works. It's the backup quarterback syndrome. Everyone sees Cam Reddish. Oh, how come he's not out there playing? He didn't play for Atlanta last year when they made it to the conference finals. He was hurt. The minute he left the team, they won seven in a row. I like Cam Reddish coming out of college. I think defensively he could be a big-time player. He has a great body. Shooting needs to improve. But why should a guy that wasn't playing for Atlanta, which has had an awful season up until the last 2 weeks, just all of a sudden come to the Knicks – replacing Kevin Knox, who wasn't playing, and all of a sudden play? I don't understand that. Why can't the guy work his way and earn his way onto the rotation? I think eventually that could happen, but this idea that they should just play him based on what exactly? He didn't help Atlanta last year.
Well, but here's the problem, and we're talking with Frank Isola here on the Michael Kay Show. I have this issue. I wonder, if the front office of the Knicks is on the same page as Thibodeau. I mean, they let two guys who are defensive-minded get away. They bring in guys like Kemba Walker, who's not, Evan Fournier, who's not a defensive-minded player, and they make a trade for Cam Reddish, and it's obvious that Thibodeau's not going to play him. Yeah. So, I mean, are they on the same page?
Yeah, and you guys had a great interview with Jeff. It was maybe a month ago when he talked about, you know, how they got rid of so many defensive-minded players and brought in all these offensive-minded players. And Kemba Walker's had the same issues this year that he had last year in Boston. He just physically can't hold up. My only issue with the Knicks is, you know, you still need stars to win in the league, and I'm not saying it's easy to get them, but just worrying about replacing the end of the bench really isn't going to make that great of an impact. I don't mind taking a shot on Cam Reddish. Again, I think – you know, maybe, you know, he's with the Knicks for a month or so, works his way in, and maybe they could find something that they have there. I think he's better than Kevin Knox. I know they had to trade a first-round pick and to get him. But I just think that the front office, and I've known Leon a long time. Let's remember, he and Wes, who both know the league really well, they've never run a team before. This is their first time doing it, and maybe are they a little gun-shy? Maybe that's the case. But also, is there really any players on the Knicks right now that teams are thinking, oh, I want this guy. Let's put together a big deal. I think something this offseason better happening in terms of getting an impact player. I think they've been waiting for a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, but Minnesota's good this year. Minnesota, at the very least, is going to make the play-in tournament. They're probably going to finish top six and make the playoffs outright, and Karl Anthony Towns has played really well. Why would Minnesota – I guess Karl Anthony Towns could demand to be traded to the Knicks. I just, A, don't think that would happen. I don't think Minnesota would do that.
Would you take a chance on Russell Westbrook? I said earlier in the show, if you can get Julius Erving in that deal and Westbrook just has one more year left at over $47 million, and then he's holding a slot, and obviously he's a very good player, and Randall looks like it's a sunk cost right now the way he's playing. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I think I would do it. I think Russell Westbrook, if you go back to the last 2 years, really more than that, but he always starts out slow. And then he really has a strong finish. Last year in Washington, he really struggled at the start of the season. The only reason they got into the play-in tournament was because of him. Bradley Beal was barely playing. It was Russell Westbrook that was carrying the team. Now this year, it looks like he's really fallen off. But Russell Westbrook in New York, I think he'd have the right attitude. He's kind of the fighter that they need. He's got a bit of an edge to him. I think New York Knicks fans, again, as you're talking about, Michael, it would be a short-term kind of thing. I think – for them, I don't think it would be the craziest thing. I think he would be a big hit with the Knicks. He plays better when he's by himself anyway.
Right.
And with that team, they kind of need it. And, you know, let's face it, too. And you guys, we talked about it. Why, if you're a guy like Julius Randle, why are you getting into a war with the fans? It's not worth it. That was so silly. Well, you know, we kind of went through it in New York with Stephon Marbury, where he was kind of always battling with the media. You guys know it's wasted energy and wasted time. It's a battle that, A, you're never going to win, and even if you think you won it, what does it prove? It's a waste of time.
It's been rough for him. It was rough before them. It's certainly been more rough since. And with the Westbrook thing, my other thought on it, Frank, is as things are right now, they're not going to make the playoffs.
I know.
And with Westbrook here sort of as clearly the number one, do I think Russell Westbrook's a guy who gets you a championship? No. Could he get them over the hump to have them make the playoffs? I think he could.
And again, just look at what he did the last couple of years. He's a fighter. You know, all these players in the league, they love to talk about Mamba mentality. When Kobe passed away, I will have the Mamba mentality. Yeah, then they all end up missing games with load management. This guy goes out there and he competes. Even when he's not at his best, he's still a fighter. I think he and Tom Thibodeau would hit it off. I think that's why – I think the player that the Knicks have missed a lot is Derrick Rose. You know, it's funny. I went back and looked at the MVP voting for last year. Do you know that Derrick Rose finished ninth in the MVP voting?
Wow.
I know I didn't vote. I actually voted Julius Randle fifth, but that's how well Derrick Rose played last year. I think that's been a big loss because he and Tom obviously have known each other for a long time. Tom trusts him. I think that's been probably an underrated loss. But to Peter's point about the playoffs, I mean, look at Toronto. How well they've played. I think they're three games over now, 500. Atlanta has maybe started to figure out. They had their seven-game winning streak just end the other night. And then you have these surprise teams like Cleveland. Chicago could, you know, right now Chicago's in first place. Miami's had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and they're solid. Ben Simmons hasn't played 1 second for Philadelphia. Look where they are. So it's going to be really difficult for the Knicks to get one of those 10 spots, especially, as you guys know, with that crazy road trip that they got coming up.
All right, go out and buy the book, The Last Enforcer, Charles Oakley and Frank Isola, Frank, you see Frank on the Yes Network pre and post game show on the Nets, and still on Sirius XM, right, Frank?
Yep, every morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Chopping
Frank,
it up.
We thank you so much, man.
So early in the
morning. All right, guys. Hey, by the way, good discussion on the NFL stuff. It was really interesting.
Thank you.
I'm always listening.
You're the best.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Frank. That is Frank Isola. Go buy his book. We'll be back. Take more phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, Isola, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.